When I was thinking of what to bring tonight, it captured my attention, the words that are found in verse 19, the end of the verse 19. If you open your Bible with me, that will be really great. A few verses only, 19, 20, 21, and 22, four verses. So I'd like to concentrate on these verses because that is a part that I was asked to look at, even though I will be referring briefly to other parts. And so what really captured my attention was the acclamation of the women in the end part of verse 19 when they said, "Can this be Naomi?" when she was returning. "Can this be Naomi? Can this be Naomi?" And it is a very ambiguous, statement. Is it an amazement that, is it because she was different, the way she looked, or is that was like a surprise that, after a long time, she spent a long time, and now she comes back, and people are saying, "Oh, this could be Naomi." No, but really, there is no way for us to determine what was the acclamation was for. But let us go back a little bit to give ourselves a little bit of context. And the context here is from verse one, chapter one, that this man's name was Elimelech, with Naomi his wife. They were living in Bethlehem's, there were people of God, and so there was a famine in the land. That is what verses 1-5 is telling us. And then they decided to go to another land, to the land of Moab land. So they, and this man, Elimelech, "God is my king, and Naomi is wit." That was their names. And their sons, Mahlun and Kelun. I took an interest in trying to understand the meanings of the names of these men, two men. I know Naomi means sweet, and Elimelech, "God is my king." But Mahlun and Kelun, I didn't really know. So I did a bit of investigation, and just guess what I came up with. Mahlun means sickly. See, sickly. A man with a name, "God is my king," he called his son Sikeli. And then the another son, he calls Kelun, which means, again, wasting. Wasting. And no wonder why this man, he went down that path. So a man has departed already from the Lord, even from the very beginning of his marriage. A man who was living in the land that was blessed by God of Israel, God who has promised them that "I will look after you no matter what happens." No famine that can surpass my sovereign will and my mighty power and love for my people. You need to remember that the God of Israel is the God who crossed the Red Sea for them. The God who carried them on the eagle wings and gave them the land of that was belonged to a mighty and powerful people, numerous. Because we read in the Bible that God said to them, he said, "Not because you were strong, you were the fewest. And so I drove out powerful nations before you." And so these are the people of covenant. And this story tells us really the contrast, the sharp contrast between really the faithfulness of God and the unfaithfulness of his people that persist. Is to cause a man like this who somehow said God is his king. When God is your king, that means that he got a mighty army. If you are not one in the army, you see, he's powerful. He got the final saying. You see, his kingdom must be overthrown for you to be defeated, you see, completed or to be destroyed. But this man, he just overlooked all these things and he drifted and he called his children with these names, terrible names. And I believe that is the reason he left a place and he couldn't wait for God. He couldn't wait for God in the time of need, in the time of suffering and struggle. He didn't seek his God. And I think if I can just run quickly into part of our, to make this story, that was so far from us, that was in the agricultural settings, to apply it into our more industrial, advanced cities where perhaps Jim only would know this because he got a farm. Perhaps he understands what it is to live in a farm and a land and so forth. So for us, how do we see this? And I think every day we are faced with these issues. We heard this morning people changing jobs all the time, seeking better places, better payment, better life, everything better. And this man, I think he was driven by the same idea, to go to where there will be better provision because there was a famine in the land. So he left. He left because there was a famine in the land. There was a hunger in the land. So he went there, and then we know from the text that even the Bible really didn't waste time. In few verses, we are told that things didn't go well for them. He lost his life. He died, and his two sons also, the wasting and the sickly, they all went. And Elimelech, already the Lord was not his king. And so now the context, the immediate context, that Naomi heard that God, verse 6, that God really visited, that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them. Of course, God will come to provide for his people. He will always do that. He will never delay. But he allows things to happen to chastise his people, to strengthen their faith in him and their trust. And that is the purpose of testing. And so people were tested through this famine. Will they trust the God of the covenant, the God of Israel? Will they love him? Will they continue to wait on him who has promised that I will look after you? I will give you rain every season. You need that. And for a purpose here, he withheld rain. You know, even Elisha prayed for 3 years and there was no rain. So God is in charge. Even there was famine, God is sovereign. He allowed that. And so this man, Naomi, now heard that there was a provision in the land. And so she decided to come home. We know from verses 7 following up to 19, there was the negotiation between his two daughters-in-law. She was urging them to stay because she was returning. And she is returning to God. Naomi, she has done the best things. And for restorations must begin with the willingness for us to return. And return means a lot. It's not just like to return physically, but actually to return, all his thoughts now are changing towards her God. So, and that this is very crucial for restoration. Before we could be even restored, we need to realize that we have sinned against God. We have done the wrong thing. And so we make the best steps, and things cannot just change like that. And so we need to acknowledge this, that we have sinned against God and now we are returning. And returning here means with everything, shuv. And that is a return to me and will return to you. This is the root word that is used there. And when returning, God didn't mean like physical returns, but nevertheless, God uses this verse, this word for both, to return physically and to return in our soul to God. And so this lady, she decided to return. She decided to go back. She said, go back to your people, to her daughter-in-law, but she will return. You see, go back is not like return. You see, but she is returning. She is coming. But Naomi said, return. And then now she's returning, she comes. And when she comes, so verse 19, so the two women went on until they came, Ruth and Naomi, to Bethlehem. When they arrived in the Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. Was stirred. So, of course, there was a missing member of the community. And now this is very important in those contexts. They were prominent people in their country. They were members of the tribe of Judah. So they were God's people. And when a person is missing, so people, they take note. And I don't know whether when Elimelech and his family were departing, they did an announcement very, very loud. So they must have just sneaked, you see, and they went. And so they made some arrangements that perhaps which were not right. They shouldn't abandon their land. So that was not part of the system. Perhaps even they sold it, and now it has to be redeemed. And so that is what we will be examining in the coming chapters and verses. So now the country was stirred, and this is what they say: can this be Naomi? She changed. You see, when there is any absence of God's grace in our lives, so people will take note. Because now she has grown older a little bit. But I don't think this is the matter. There was something far greater going on in her lives. That is what she brought out as bitterness. There is bitterness. There is emptiness. She said she went full and she came back empty. There is emptiness. That was so clear. And people could see that. Could this be Naomi? The person who went with a husband and two sons, and now she is coming with a widow with her. So could this be Naomi? Naomi, who was a blessed, is sweet. Now what we see does not speak of the God of Israel. There's something happened here that was not right. So people took notes and they said this. And of course she was going to fill in by what she says. But really, this struck me. Can this be Naomi? Perhaps some people may say, can this be you? This is the person we have known for so long, a person who was walking closer with God, a person who was full of grace of God, full of love, you see, zeal and passion for the things of God. Now he's not the same person. Knocked down, subdued, you see, wanting, desolate. These are the result of going away from God, departing from his covenant, departing from the calling that God has laid on our lives. It's so dangerous, and it's not of God. This is very, does not bear witness to his grace. Even those who suffer according to God's will, people will never say, can this be Naomi? They know truly this is Son of God. That was what happened when Jesus was on the cross. And when the centurion saw the sign, the darkness that came on the land, and the tearing of the curtain, and the cry of righteousness when Jesus was crying. And they said, this man said, this is truly a Son of God. He was covered with suffering, with blood, and he was dying. And yet, that he could see that he was struggling and suffering for the sake, for noble purposes, for God's will. So Naomi here, she is changed because she was dragged down. Perhaps her husband played a significant role in that as a head of the family. And she went there and she lost all the light and she lost all the blessings. And we could see even the names of the sons just really speak volumes of the beginning of the disaster in the family. Is there anything for us? I know when we name our children, we try to give them biblical names. Why? We were trying to capture something of God's blessings for our children. That is a purpose. We want to associate everything with our God. And this is who we are. Like even this man is Elimelech, but really is God. Is God. So if God didn't save me, that will be really, I should go to South Sudan and ask all the people who are called Lam, are you praying? Because my name means prayer. That is the name was given to me. It is used interchangeably with Pal or Lam, My dad used to always call me Pal, exactly prayer. And Lam also is prayer, another word. So when we call our children, we call them with the names that speaks of God. And as a reminder always that as you name your sons, if you didn't get to get a name that is so biblical and you are saved, still you can hold to God. But when you are given this awareness that you proclaim it to yourself, stick to it because you will have great blessings. Because that will be a reminder. This man, he should have remembered that God is his king. But he forgot that. He forgot that. And to forget is very difficult. It's one of our downfalls to forget the blessings. That is why we should sing always, count your blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. Even it will surprise you what the Lord has in store for you. You see, God, our God is a God of richness, God of abundance. Even when things are dark, just close to complete, just don't worry. Because nothing can separate us even from Him, from His love, whether death or anything. We are just like going through different stages of blessings and walk with Him. Life finishes here, it starts up with Him. You see, if you remain Elimelech, if you remained Elimelech, and you remain in the land, trusting in His purposes, trusting in what He said of Himself, that is a covenant-keeping God, and that He will, even if He tarry, He comes at the appointed time. And He came. That is why this lady is coming back to her people, because the God of Israel is a God who come to help His people, that the Lord had come to the aid of His people by providing food for them. And Jesus picked them up. These words like that are exactly the word that we read in Matthew 6:33. We say, do not worry about your life, you see, or about food, you see. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, you see, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food? Is life, you see, is not life more important? So to be alive and to wait on God, that is the most important thing. You don't worry about anything else, just wait for your God in all your circumstances. That is what Jesus is saying here. Just wait. We are in charge. God the Father, God the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit are in charge. No famine can come and destroy his people. Never. It will never happen. There is no need when you are holding to your God as King that can desolate you, that can destroy you. He will meet you at the appointed times. The God we worship is a faithful God. Is a God who comes. Even don't worry about your spiritual journey, walk. How many times you have fallen flat on your face, but you held to Him, isn't it? And He comes. For He is God who comes to the help of His people, so that other people will not say, can this be Lam? Can this be this person? Can this be this person? When I turned up yesterday to that meeting, I needed to have prayer, and I didn't know that I will be preaching this sermon in this way. Just imagine I went there and I stopped there and I couldn't just say anything. People will say, what? Can this be Lam? Thankfully, I think there was just a lot of flattering happening after that, but I said to them, give glory to God if there was something really unique. One of the ladies said, oh, when she heard that I was going to come, and so she said, oh, yes, she's going to hear the gospel. Just imagine if I went there and I didn't say anything of the gospel. She will say, can this be Lam? But God, because God, He wants to bear witness to His name. He wants to bear witness to His name that we can never fall flat on our faces, not to be revisited by His power and by His grace and faith, to be rekindled in our hearts and His strength and passion and joy and boldness, to speak of His character, the God of heaven and the earth, the one who has brought us into this covenant with Him. This is not a playing thing. This is life and death. Because God has separated us from the world to speak of his character, to bear his witness. This grace is not in vain. We have heard this morning that who is given more or much, much will be asked of him. His standing is asked of him. And so that people will not say, can this be Lamb? And this is by grace. By what? By just waiting. And also, we got a lesson even from this book. I just don't want to go beyond 2 minutes now. Even in this book of Ruth, we see that Boaz stayed in the land. The others have stayed in the land. The women, they stayed there. And now there will be a lot of provision. Because Naomi will say that now she is going to seek God. And Naomi has done something great here. Because she's returning to God. And God will return to her. Because he said, return and I will return to you. And so this is what he's doing. Return. So it doesn't matter if you have messed it up, if you have lost the way, the plot. Return only. That is what you can do. Just return. And God will return to you. And you will see the abundance. Why? She's going to nurse, you see, a great, great, great father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, and as her portions, God is going to magnify his name again in her life because she turned. Its witness is going to come back again, Naomi. Because her parent didn't name her that in vain. But her husband led her into destruction. You see, because this man, he didn't believe in his Melech, in his king. Can this be Naomi? Can this be Naomi? It's God who doesn't want us to be empty. It's God who said, I will fill you. It's God of fullness. And you see, it's God who will come fully. And every blessings, his blessings are abundance. Grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. Flood of his character. For he is a rich God. That is what Naomi has acknowledged here in her words. She said these words. So she said, don't call me Naomi. She is bitter. Call me Mara. Because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. She recognized that God is sovereign. And we cannot run away from him to seek blessings from him. He will block them wherever we go. If we try to run away from him and seek them somewhere else, he can close them. He closes them up. He opens doors and no one can shut. And he shuts doors that no one can open. If he remains our Melech, our king, the Lord is my king. So we worship a true God. And so Naomi said this rightly, Almighty. He used different words. When he says, he has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back. The Lord said it, God who is able. God who is able even to block blessings, even the land of Moab. We need to say this. God is sovereign, actually. It's not only the lands where God has assembled his people that we have blessings. Really, his blessings are just like for everyone. You see? So that they may turn to him. You see, that was what Peter experienced, isn't it? Peter, when he saw that, he was just getting all the fish. He realized there was something unusual here. He just realized it. He knew it. This is an abundance blessings in unexpected place. So God blesses. He blessed Joseph in Egypt. And those were pagans. They were not God's people, but for a purpose. For he chooses to act sovereignly. We will never understand all his ways. For his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But what we need to know, he's the God of heaven and the earth and the God of the whole universe. And he can go there and change things and stop things from flowing if we try to take pride in any other things. And this is a warning, a great warning for us who are living in this land, this beautiful land. It's just incredible. So I'm praying that I want to discover Australia. So in my small time that is left in this earth. It's beautiful. And it's a land of abundance. I have great friends in this land, beautiful friends. But we are heading into disasters, as we are saying. And no wonder why God is just giving us these messages so that we are ready. So we say, God is our king. No matter what happens, because famine can strike any time. You see, anything can happen. The system can collapse. You see, we may lose internet. Everything now is connected with internet. Perhaps if anything happens, even you cannot prove that you have this amount in bank. You see, things can really be very bad. You see, but God will always be king. That so that we don't put our security in things. So in Moab, we don't go to Moab. We wait in Bethlehem, the land of meat. You see, because God is God. Yeah, let us pray together. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. I pray you bless us. You give us grace to believe and to trust and to stand, to be bold, not to be moved left or right, not to be deceived by Satan, but Lord God, to look to you. We pray for your Holy Spirit to help us, to lead us to Christ our Lord, and to love him and to know that what he has done on the cross of Calvary was a work to bring us a future. And that is to land before him on the throne of God, before the throne of God, to worship in the truth and the spirit. So, Father, we pray, enable us to stand. Lord, help us to remove our eyes from the trouble, from the famines, because things are tough around us. But, Lord, help us not to look to things, but to look to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.